Hey, Chris, is this going to work? Are we going to be able to talk today?
I don't know. Let's see how it flies. I say it's like if the hiccups and bumps feel like either the funding's been pulled or we didn't pay a bill or something. I don't know.
We're going to find out, I guess. What's up with you?
Nothing. Just feels like a really busy weekend, busy time. And let me back up for 1 second. Just on that note, were you ever the person that one of your utilities was pulled? Has that ever happened to you? You're just sort of like, you know, you're, I don't know, all of a sudden there's no hot water or the hydro's done and you're like, oh, forgot to pay the bill.
That's never happened to me. Has it happened to you?
Happened once in university. Yeah. It's that sort of that collective, all of us roommates. I thought you were going to pay it. And, you know, on a Friday, you sort of wake up 10 a.m. thinking you're supposed to be going to school. Hydro's off. Like, oh, must be a blackout. Nope. Just in our house. They turned off our hydro. Yeah. So the bill's still on the fridge. You know, somebody pay this. Somebody pay this. Nobody paid it. So yeah, the hydro's been turned off only once.
Wow.
It's amazing how quickly everyone blamed each other. Like it just totally fell into like Lord of the Flies kind of a moment. It was your fault, you know, like kill the beast. We're all sort of tromping around a fire saying whose fault is it, right?
But so like how long is it before you figure it out, you make it work again?
We didn't have power till Monday.
Dude,
that was awesome. We just had blackout again.
We just blacked out.
This is so mysterious. Did it keep the feed going though?
Yes, we're still live on air, but I don't know what to tell you. This is ridiculous. So yesterday we tried to podcast, Chris and I, and we couldn't because we kept our connection kept getting dropped. And now it looks like it's doing the whole thing over again.
I don't know. Can we? Okay, so that's just like my roommates and I. Is it you or me?
I have no idea who it is.
Yeah, I know. It's pretty bizarre.
I mean, I'm thinking it's got to be me because before you came on, I established a connection.
Yeah.
And then remember, it got shut down. So it's got to be me. But like the internet's working. I'm sitting right beside all the doodads that with the lights flashing and stuff. So I don't know what's going on.
And it's so sudden, too. Like there's no, you haven't changed any of your config at all. Like everything is as it was. And
if anything, I've reduced my bandwidth to the hangout. That's it. I've done nothing else.
So that's just usage. That's not actual like hardwiring.
No, it's not settings. No hardwiring's been changed or anything like that.
Wow. That was the only thing I got written down yesterday, bandwidth. That's what I wrote down on the little sketch note here, apart from our little caricatures, thinking about bandwidth, losing it, getting it squeezed, trying to use it better, getting cheesed off at it, all those things.
That'd be cool, right in the middle of your paper, bandwidth, and then all that stuff happening around it. That sounds really cool.
Yeah. So, well, I wish it would have been around it. All it was just on the one corner, started to write it, bandwidth on the side. I tend to build from left side, yeah. So, I don't know how you want to blow through this. Do we try the hiccups, try to get bits and pieces, see if we can compartmentalize the combos into little bits?
Sure. Let's start with the first one. What's up first that we want to hit?
Okay. So this time of year right now, here's what one of the big things I'm wrestling with. Tell me if this is something that you're thinking about too, is adjusting my expectations. And part of what I'm doing is I'm looking at, I've made the plan. I've made multi-plans. I've sort of long range stuff. And then now in secondary, we've got about 7 weeks to exams, which seems like a long time. But for me with kids, multi-kid and multi-course, we're starting to sort of adjust and say, okay, is our plan for success still going to be ideal? So wondering if that happens with you and what it looks like. Because for us, it can be very much, okay, we have a student that might be working on four courses, but one of those courses has become a little bit like dead weight. Like the kid just can't can't inject themselves into it. It just is not working. So we might move down to three courses instead of four. What's that look like even remotely from where you sit?
Well, the same thing does kind of happen. For example, right now, you know, we're starting new, well, we're constantly starting new activities, right? We're constantly starting like new, I don't know, it's escaping me right now. Like with the learning comes new activities, new projects, new tasks. And we started a new task recently, a writing task, and it's a really big one. And so I'm already like observing the students and I'm already thinking, okay, what needs to go? Because I want them to be able to finish that task by, well, I don't want it to go to June, but I need to adjust it so that it doesn't take, you know, half of April and all of May. If the work that's happening throughout that time period is like really good and there's stuff popping up that I can work with in terms of student learning and adding it to their task, then it's amazing. But if it gets stale and everybody's just dragging their heels, then I adjust. I have to, because I don't want something to, it's okay when things take longer than they should, especially if the learning keeps rolling along and I'm able to, like, it's all still fresh. It's all still moving. But once it stops, it gets stale, then it's a problem, because then the students are just like, nobody's interested because it's not interesting. And so you kind of have to have it. You kind of have to want to do it for the most part.
Okay. All right.
But the technology's not been on our side.
If we actually have any listeners, we've basically created like a bit of a scavenger hunt for them. So this is officially episode number 31, version C. So, and I'm not quite sure if we've made it, any further into the conversation, apart from starting talking about making adjustments. So making adjustments midterm, we are now officially making multi-adjustments mid-podcast.
Well, this thing's so disjointed. Like, it's funny, as you mentioned that, I'm thinking to myself, can I even remember how to take one piece of audio from one place, another piece of audio from another place, and bring them together? Because it's been such a long time since I've actually had to play with audio that it's like, I was just thinking that. I'm like, hey, maybe I could piece this together one day when I have, you know, an hour to myself, which will probably be in July. So yeah, episode 31 A, B, and C won't come out until after we're done episode 42. Really.
The other thing that's totally messing with my head too is that we have gone along with a pretty good record here of being able to put out content. All the dependence that we have established with using this new format, like we jumped away from using the audio only, just said, let's do the live video. It was working nice. It's fascinating how, on one hand, how dependent we came there and all the assumptions that go along with it. It brings me back to that, the LCD projector moment. And thinking about 3 or 4 years ago, maybe this still plays out in your school, but I haven't seen it in a while, where the instructors, you go into an instructor's classroom and you ask if you can use their LCD projector to, you know, it's basically a souped up overhead projector, like you're just projecting stuff. And inevitably there's a little post-it note or a piece of tape, or they tell you verbally, don't switch any of the cables. Because there were so few people, not so few, but there was enough people that it was noticeable that once the LCD projector was set up, don't mess with it. Don't look at it. Don't hit any of the buttons. Don't do anything. And then the mystery around, oh, well, you have to plug in your laptop first and then plug in the LCD projector, but only turn on the laptop once the ready button comes up on the LCD. And it was like this, I don't know, it almost was like a Bermuda Triangle mixed with an episode of Lost. Like, that was the mystery around using tech. And I almost feel like I have been reduced to that with this episode. I don't know what is going on, but I'm happy to see you.
I feel the exact same way you do in terms of, like, yeah, you've got all these instructions. Things are running along nicely. Like, we, like 30 weekends, you and I have done this. That's a long friggin' time.
Yep.
And then all of a sudden, this one, it's like, it's almost like the universe is telling us this conversation is not supposed to happen. Because think about our on-ramp yesterday. We talked about some pretty heavy stuff. And I told you in the on-ramp, there was stuff there I would never mention on the podcast just because it's not something I want to publicly advertise, right?
Yep.
So it's almost, there's something more going on here. This weekend is a stressful one for me personally because I've got a lot going on. But it's just weird. Like, and then when you were explaining the LCD projector and the sticky notes that are on it, telling you what to touch, what not to touch, I got to bring it back to the classroom, right? Like I have to. You'll have something going on in your room. It'll be humming along for weeks, like a norm that has just been established that nobody touches except one day someone decides to mess with the norm for whatever reason. And it throws everything off because we are such creatures of habit. This, what's happening to us with this episode 31, that I don't even know if it's going to exist when we're done talking about it, but what's happening with this, it reminds me of talking to my students about the unexpected, which I just did the other day. We had a hangout with two colleagues in my school board. And, you know, we hit record, I mute the mic, and I tell them, act like normal people. Behave like civilized individuals. We've done this a million times. The waving at the camera for 30 minutes and whatever, that we did that the first couple of times. That's over now, you know? And it's that, if some of them were looking at me like, why are you telling us? We already know. And now I can tell them, I'm telling you because of stuff like this, where just the unexpected happens and you regress like you've never done it before. And you and I have kind of done that. Every time we'd lose the feed, we'd look at each other like idiots, like, huh? What's going on? You know, like we totally regressed to a point in time where we had no idea what we were doing. That's not the case anymore. So it's kind of neat to see the connection to the classroom and how, you know, adjusting your expectations, expecting the unexpected, it still happens no matter how prepared you are. Man, think of all the lessons we've prepared for that we go to deliver and then something happens and you've got to take like a left turn that you never even knew existed.
What brings to mind to me in this is also the danger of assumptions that it is that like when you get into that mode of business as usual, what do you lose? What do you lose? As in right now, I actually do not have a tool. I don't have a tool to troubleshoot what just happened. I have nothing. The only thing that I feel like I have right now is blunt force. Let's do it again. Let's do it again. Let's do it again. And if we take that back to the classroom, how frustrating is that? Where all you can do is repeat the exact same steps and hope that nothing gets stripped from you. And I observe that sometimes in students where I see that is one example that comes to mind so frequently is when a student, let's say a student has is on suspension. So I'm supporting the courses that they're doing in their home school. So they have four courses that they've started in the home school. And sometimes those courses, despite the, let's say, lack of, the problem might be that they've just been skipping the class or not doing much, so lack of productivity. But then you get through that when the kid starts attending their suspension or their expulsion, you start to realize it's more complex than that. It's not as simple as just they were absent from the course. It's one element. The other part is they might have never connected with the course or their level of understanding kind of stopped at grade five. Like they hadn't developed any skills or tools for that. And once you start to find yourself in that space to say, let's just do it again, it's not a matter of practice. Practice won't make it any better. Repetition won't make it any better. It's finding a new way to come at it. Now, if I bring it back to you and I don't think you and I are at a place right now with this podcast that there's a reason for us to jump to a different mode for creating our podcast. I really dig this tool. Google, I hope you're listening. I want to keep using the live hangouts. I now just makes me wonder I'll probably at some point find out if there was outages. I'll see if I like, I'll try and figure out what questions I need to ask in order to get the answers that I need. And I realize I probably, like you said, this episode might not come out till July. Okay, no biggie. That also might be the amount of time it takes to figure out what happened with the tech this time around. It also reminds me, I take it personally on as well, because just yesterday my spouse was having when you observe people having trouble with their tech, and let's say it's someone, a loved one, let's just say a loved one, let's put that context into it. Do you sometimes think to yourself, yeah, I have those issues too, but I do this? Or do you think to yourself, I never have those issues with my tech? Like, maybe all these things occur to you. Do you think it's you, you've done something? Like, when you're trying to troubleshoot, what's your automatic place? And I was in this place yesterday asking myself, when I was, my spouse was asking me something about her laptop. It wasn't connecting well with our board gaps, our Google Drive stuff. And from her POV, and as she described it, she hadn't changed anything. It just wasn't connecting well to, I forget what she was trying to access there. We haven't changed any configuration in the house. She was as close to the router as she could be. And it wouldn't go in at all. And there was no error. I don't even know what 404 arrow means, but there was no error. It's just like, cannot connect with whatever. So I take it personally when I can't quickly see what's going on, where I can't quickly troubleshoot what it is and give an alternative. And I find sometimes I come off kind of cool and like, okay, well, I apologize like for my lack of understanding. It's a very strange place. And it's not like I have a huge depth of knowledge in troubleshooting. I'm a effective user, but I'm not that great of a technician in those moments. Kind of, I feel like I'm stabbing myself in the heart in those moments, like, cause I want to help, right? In the same way right now, like between like you and I, for the most part, the assumption is that we have enough skills to figure this out. But all I'm seeing right now is that Google's dancing with us because it hasn't cut the feed yet, but I still feel like any moment, like it's a good, you know, don't breathe on the computer, which is just like that post-it note on the LCD projector. No, don't touch it. Don't touch anything. I need to use it tomorrow. Don't mess it up, right? I feel so nervous, like any moment.
I feel the same. My hands are up. I've surrendered. I'm thinking in chunks. I'm like, okay, good. Clough just talked about that chunk. What's something else? Just because this is ridiculous. Like even, I don't know. Like I told you, my head went right to how do you deal with this? I mean, how we could piece it together, but I'm worried that the new normal will be every weekend we come on, it drops 5 or 6 times. And in that 5 or 6, we're able to gather 20 to 40 minutes of something. Then I spend my life repiecing it. And then if that's the case, this podcast is over because I don't even have time to make it work when it's effective. So how am I going to make it work when it's ineffective? And then I think, oh, are we going to drop this? Because I kind of like this format too. I've gotten used to this format of the content creation of the audio, the video, and the audio video together. So it's kind of neat for me to refer to an episode to a YouTube video. It's kind of neat. I mean, it's one more way that someone can take in the content. But I mean, if you got to let it go to go back to old ways and different tools, and that's what you got to do. But it would kind of be a shame. But I mean, if I can never establish a good Google Hangout link, then there's no point, right? Like, I'm surprised we've gone this long without getting dropped. It's like the episode of Seinfeld where Kramer is in the car with the car salesman and they're running out of gas. And like, let's just do it. Let's just go for it. Who cares if we don't have any gas? Same thing here. We're doing it. We don't know we don't know what's wrong with the gas tank. There could be a hole in it. Could be bad fuel that's been in there too long. I don't know. All I know is it's a good lesson for us in a way because we're able to connect it to the work that we do every day. And we're able to connect it, I guess, well, you more than me, the feelings of inadequacy, perhaps. Maybe I'm just throwing that at you. Ineffectiveness, not understanding, not having the the skills or the tools to fix something that's not working that you've been dealing with for such a long time. Like right now, as I was talking to you, I saw something happen with the video on your, like, I saw something happen to your video.
Yeah.
Like you squiggled and I'm like, oh, there we go. We're done. But I see you moving. It's funny. Every now and again, we should just do something like this just so that we know that it's not frozen. Because a couple of times I'd be talking to you and you were like this. And then I'm like, Clough, are you there? And you're
so just blink more. Yeah. Oh, see, and this is something just happened. Look at that, eh? Look at that. I'm here. Duh. Dang. Let's see if you come back. Oh, you're back. You're back.
As I was, but, and we're live. It says we're live.
So we held the feed, but your end cut out somehow.
Okay. So on my end, your end cut out. It was probably my internet, but you were frozen like this, smiling. Yeah. And I saw that it said live. So I just kept talking.
Yeah.
And then we got the error or whatever message. And then it all came back and it still says live.
Okay, so let me jump in just because now I feel like let's get rapid fire here, right? It's interesting to hear you say that that it's over. That's fascinating to me. I'm sensitive for some reason to listening to how my colleagues and even my students catastrophize sort of events and the thinking. And I wonder what feeds that. I'm not going to disagree. That's for you. That's for my colleagues. That's for my students to kind of figure that way out. Because I don't do that. For some reason, I don't say, maybe it's because I'm so random in some ways that even if I have a bad moment with something, it takes quite a few of those bad moments for me to say that's a pattern of my life. I see the patterns more in other things, but I don't quickly say that it's over. Like, and maybe I'm okay with it, things being messy. Maybe I'm okay with, I just assume things are messy and that nothing is ever permanent and yada, yada, the whole existential kind of mindset, you know, be in the moment, whatever's happening right now is all that's important. Because there's limitations to that type of thinking as well. But I am fascinated about that catastrophizing the mistake and what it causes us, what the thinking causes us to do next. So are you honestly in that space thinking that if this particular moment or broadcast doesn't work, does that make you less likely or interested to try again next week? What do you think?
I think initially it gets under my skin so much that it's like, I'm done, but not, it's one of those, it's a momentary thing. Like, I don't remember the last time I quit something in the moment and never came back to it. I think it's a moment thing. I think it's like my mind goes to the worst possible scenario, which is this podcast is over. But I mean, as I'm talking to you, I feel that way, but then next week will roll around and it'll be like, hey, who's sending the link today? You know what I mean? So it's just, I think, which is funny because I don't do that with everybody. Like, I don't do that with my students. I do it with you now. I probably do it with my wife all the time. But it's for me, when I said that, I didn't mean it like literally if we glitch again, I'm done forever. It just meant like my brain just goes like, oh, no. What happens if we can't do the podcast anymore because of the tech, you know?
So then here's my wondering. So I've noticed a thing, but it doesn't mean exactly what I think it does. So then I bring it back to in these moments with the people that we support, whether it's your family, your students, your colleagues, anyone. Okay. So someone that you feel like you support, what's a way, and I've slowly come to understand that just because someone does say that they don't necessarily mean like, Clough, come on, man, don't be so sensitive. They're just talking. They're just kind of like expressing frustration out loud. They're just kind of getting their feels out. So Clef, don't be so serious, because they might not be so serious. Every once in a while, I do come across people that actually are serious. Like, that's their moment. They are done. And I'm trying to understand the nuances between the two, where someone really is finished, because ultimately I want to support them if I can. They actually are finished. So you are seeing, I am witnessing a threshold, as opposed to the, this is just them venting. They're just venting out loud. Because my brain, for some reason, tries to make it into an absolute in order to support, like my compulsion to want to sort of help and fix. Now, this plays out sometimes well in the classroom, sometimes plays out well in, you know, personal relationships, but I find that I don't always hear it clearly. But I do hear you. Like, this is your process of just kind of like the what the heck is going on kind of a thing. Me asking it was less about, I apologize for this, less about checking your state of mind, but checking my filters. Like, am I actually, are we done? Like, Roland, it's not you, it's me. It's not me, it's you. I don't know. It's not us, it's Google. So I'm fascinated by that the machinery that fuels that. It probably for the same way that I notice right away if someone enters a room and leads with a sigh. And there are individuals in my world that do that. They walk into a room and they throw down a sigh. And for me, that's an emotional cue that goes both ways. I mean, it's not what I would not naturally identify that as a positive articulation. I would use it, you know, I would sort of look at it more of an expression of there's something going on behind the sigh, or something just happened that the individual wants to speak of, but isn't speaking of it, is using that sort of like that noise. And to enter a room and sigh as opposed to, hey, how you doing? Or, hey, what's going on? Or, hey, haven't seen you in a long time. I color it differently. Sometimes it's just a sigh, but I notice that type of cueing system. Nah.
Interesting.
Yeah. Too much psychology, but that's...
I have to tell you, though, I have to add, before we started yesterday, I was talking to you about some of my experiences and how it's. I feel tired, right? Like emotionally, not so much physically, but like emotionally, spiritually, I just feel tired. And then you add this on to it, right? This is the podcast... Decoded is a way for me to connect my teaching world with my parenting world, with your world, and just make it sync and make it all happen so we can talk about stuff. And so you couple the technical issues that we've been having this weekend with the fact that I already come to this with deficiencies. It's exhausting. Like, that's part of my thinking is like, we tried it yesterday, had all kinds of issues. We reset, we try it today, having the same issues. And life is still going to move on. It's like, it's not, that's what I hate the most about a lot of the things that happen is that you have an issue that needs to be dealt with, but you can't really deal with it immediately because you have there's a life that's living. You can't step out of your world, right? Like I was saying something to my wife the other day that wouldn't it be easier to be able to go do such and such if we didn't have to go to work, right? Like everybody has to go to work. It's not just me. But it's one of those moments where you think, oh, someone who works, you know, overnight or someone who starts their shift at 6 p.m. and ends at midnight, they still have time during the day to do the things they need to do, like see the doctor or go to the mechanic or visit the bank because they have to talk about a particular issue with something that's going to have like major impact on their life. Whereas people who work during the day when everything else is open, well, you have to miss work to be able to do some of those things. And sometimes, most of the time, it's not feasible, right? And so it's just one of those moments where I'm thinking, oh, we have a problem, a technical issue, which I'm sure is no big deal, but it's just, you have looking at it within context and all the layers, that are adding up in people's lives, that little strip can be enough weight to break someone, to make someone say, that's it, I'm done, right? Like, if you think about this podcast, we're both awake. Our lives haven't started for the day for the most part. It's like we just fit it in. But yesterday was a tough one for me. Normally I bounce right out of bed. I'm ready to rock and roll. Yesterday I was like, I need more sleep. I, you know, so I had to like force myself out. And then you have this issue. And then this morning, life is going to start a lot earlier for me this morning than it did yesterday. We roll this in and we get the same problems. And it's just like, really? So, I mean, the technical issues of the podcast are catching up and being that little mini layer added on to the top of everything else that's going on that's weighing me down personally. So it's funny how that works. Sometimes it's not the big things that go away. Sometimes the big things that are layered on that are like this thick, they don't go anywhere. You can't get rid of those layers because those are the layers that you need to function in life. Whereas this layer, this podcast is a tiny little layer, but it if it goes away, my life continues. You get what I'm saying? So there's some things that your context is made up of that can't go anywhere. They must stay. And then there are the other pieces that go, and you think that, this is a little bit of mental health stuff here, you think that when you drop that little layer, that your whole world's going to get easier. It doesn't. It's like an anomaly. It just feels like things will get lighter. But really, this doesn't make a difference when you've got stuff piled on like this. I don't know if any of that makes any sense. I don't even know if anybody's going to hear it because who knows, we might get cut in 2 seconds. But the point is that it's funny how these little things, they add up. And when people drop stuff, it's not easy to drop a thick layer of your life or toss it away or give up on it because it needs to be there for life to happen.
It makes sense what you're saying. You make me think about what the sort of maybe the difference or the contrast between our drive to correct and our toolkit or our awareness to just let it be. And I don't have a better way to say it, but I'm thinking about how will I remember our podcast this weekend? Like, what is it that I will take away from it? And in the moment that I ask myself that, it makes me realize that I'm still in the driver's seat, with the ability to make this the best possible podcast. You think about the drives that you make, like the commute that you may have or commutes that you've done in the past, and the triggering effect of sitting down in the car and already thinking about how much you hate that drive. So you've already, from the moment you sit down, you've already arrived at your destination and you're pissed off about the fact that you've driven that far, but you're not there yet. You're just in the mindset even before you get there. And there's a whole lot of mental health kind of comparisons I think you can put here that sort of, whether it's closed thinking or just telegraphed thinking, and that cycle of always going through that thinking and just never being exactly where your thoughts are. Your thoughts are always somewhere away from your body. And as I realize this, as I think to myself, okay, this hasn't worked out according to expectations, but both of us are pushing through and still having a conversation, I think this moment is closer to where I think it's an authentic way to make it as to stay in the moment, to sort of deal with what we have. And if we say that we have 45 minutes or 50 minutes to have a conversation, this is probably the cost. We don't get to walk away from each other. We don't get to sort of make it easy and say, well, let's just forget it and not have a conversation. It becomes an and, not a but. We are going to have problems. Here's the metaphor for the relationship. You and I are going to have problems and we're still going to talk. We're still going to try and make this, or we're still going to try and talk about our our lives as dads, as educators, as humans. And we're going to have some content at the end. In some ways, my brain is even telling me right now that with the hiccups, this particular podcast is an important one for someone to hear. And we go back to that LCD projector and the time that someone messes with the cables and it's like, why did someone change the cables? And then your whole lesson you feel has just gone like into the ground. Well, what are the what ifs right there that you could do? Well, let's have a reading period. Let's have an open discussion. Let's ask for help. Could do that too. Let's draw. Let's like look to the resources that are around you in a little bit more of a scout's mode in order to get you through it. It would have been fascinating for us to figure out an alternative method. And we didn't have to go there yet. But what if we were still compelled to have a conversation? What if we were still compelled to have a conversation and our next step was to go grab the Zencastr app and just have part D there? We still would have had our conversation. We still would have honored each other's time. And we still would have had the opportunity, I think, in some ways to demonstrate the depth of our skill. Because it would be easy to stop at version C and decide that that's good enough. But I would almost argue now, as I think through it, probably the version D of us saying, let's just go grab Zencastr because we can, and then we'll figure it out. Maybe we don't stitch it together like the perfect iTunes episode. Maybe it just exists on your blog in a bunch of pieces and say, but this is the reality of doing this type of a conversation. This is the reflection in the reflective practice. And as we started this conversation, any moment Google could pull the plug on this, but it doesn't change my intention and drive to have a conversation with you. And even as we work through this, I can feel my tolerances kind of resetting. Maybe that's a bad thing to feel like, we're good. We good, Google? We good? I think we're good.
I love the way you looked up at the cloud.
I should have done this. Google, we good?
Oh, nice.
Oh. There we go.
That reminds me of when we started. I don't know if it was this morning, if it was part A, part B. I don't know. But you were, when I came on, you were flicking switches up above you and you looked like a pilot. I'm like, oh, ready for takeoff. It was kind of cool.
Dude, you look at my background. If I'm a pilot, like... What have I been working on? Like, seriously, there's the black box. I just decided to kind of do a little bit of, we put in a new air conditioner in the plane and a skylight. So don't worry, passengers, we're all good.
Do you have any words of wisdom for this week? Like, I don't want to use the H word, but do you have anything? Because we're almost at the end of our time. We're going to actually unplug, hopefully before Google unplugs us.
Yeah. Yeah. And you know what? No, because right now there isn't words of wisdom. Let's just say observations on what's in front of you. Because this April was a grind of a month. It really is. And even though there's a plan, there's always a plan that gets me through to the end of June, or in secondary, it's kind of like into the second week of June, because we then have exams on the tail end. I feel like this past month has been a particularly, not confusing, but a lot of new elements being introduced into my program. And I still, what I've had to do is stop assuming that I know the plan to use. It's going to be very dynamic, lots of changes going right up into the end. And I'm just trying to stay in touch with that, not trying to get too far ahead. One of my principal actually said, it may be a quiet day in your program. She's specific day this week, it'll give you some time to do some more planning. And actually said, I'm going to stop planning. I'm done planning. I have to see where the plans that I have made kind of start to flesh out. So I don't know if that's mindful, but it's just sort of completely adjusting my expectations to say what's in front of me and kind of stay focused on that. I think that's what May is going to be about, to be honest, really paying attention to what's in front of me and not to get too far outside that target zone.
Awesome. Well, I look forward to talking to you about it.
All right, man. Part C in the bag, episode 31.
Okay, dude. We'll see you later.
Ciao, man.
See ya.